If I gained the world but lost the Savior, would my life be worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gained the world but lost the Savior, would my gain be worth the lifelong strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing to a moment with a Christ-filled life? Had I wealth and love in fullest measure, and a name revered both far and near, yet no hope beyond, no harbor waiting, where my storm-tossed vessel I could steer. And if I gained the world but lost the Savior, who endured the cross and died for me, could then all the world afford a refuge, whither in my anguish I might flee? Oh, the joy of having all in Jesus, what a balm the broken heart to heal. Ne'er a sin so great but he'll forgive it, nor a sorrow that he does not heal. And if I have but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside, oh, then everything is mine in Jesus. For my needs and more he will provide. If I have but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside, oh, then everything is mine in Jesus. For my needs and more he will provide.
Amen. Thank you, son and daughter. Take your Bibles, please, with me. Go to the book of Proverbs tonight. I hope not, but it may be that God lets you get to the point where it's just you and Jesus. I hope you'll always be ringed with family. I hope you'll always have a faithful church. I hope you'll always be surrounded by friends. But I suspect there's going to be a time in your life here or there where you look up to the skies and you say, it's me and you, Lord. And I hope when that day comes, you will stand alone with Jesus. You say, what does the church need? People who will stand alone together. What does a youth group need? Teenagers who will stand up for Jesus and then draw to those who will follow the cross. Let the rest fool around somewhere else. What does a family need? It needs a dad who says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I hope I never have to do it alone, but I will if I have to. I'm not going to follow mama to some unscriptural church so we can be united in untruth. It takes a mother who'll say, I'll follow my husband as he follows Christ. And children who say, you know, I'm going to buy into what mom and dad are going for. Mom and dads, have you thought about that? Are your kids buying what you're selling? Do they want the marriage you have? Do they? Do they see you kiss on each other? Do they see you hold hands? Do they see you enjoy each other's company? Do they see you spend time together? Or do they hear you argue and raise your voice and act selfish? Would they want your marriage? Would they want your walk with God? Do they want your joy in the work of God? Are your children buying what you're selling? Or have they looked at us and said, you know, I don't think this is real. Mom and dad go to church and say, amen, glory to God, come home and gripe about going soul winning. They come to church and act like it's a big gift time, but you know, we go home and they complain about tithing. You know, we come to church, we go to married couples retreat, and everything looks great, but they come home and scream and argue at each other. All the while, our children are watching, and they're making a decision. Am I going to buy what mom and dad are selling? Is that life a worthy life? Is that life an honorable life? Is that life a life of significance? Is that life, does it have principle and does it matter? Is there courage in it? Is there stuff? Or is it just jello? And it conforms to whatever's around it. It melts in the heat. It tastes sweet sometimes. But other than the sweet taste, it's pretty useless stuff. Y'all awake? Are your kids buying what you're selling? Would you let me, Pastor, teach you a little bit tonight? I would like to help you with something that I believe is a core issue. I don't believe there's anybody in here that won't be strengthened if you listen and learn. It's easy for a pastor to come up and preach to the 2%. It really is. It's easy for me to preach to the choir in a sense. Tonight I'd like to teach you something that maybe you've never understood or maybe thought about before from the Bible that I believe would help you. There'd be some Bible training in it too as far as brain food, but there'll be stuff for your heart. I believe it would make you better parents. I believe it would help you understand some things going on in your family that really have you puzzled right now. I think it would help you be a better husband or wife, and I know it would help you walk with God. If you take your Bibles with me and go to Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to look at a number of scriptures, and if you'd like to take some notes, later on there'll be some, or you can write them as it pleases you. But rather than fly the plane in and drop bombs tonight, I really am going to try to teach you something that I hope we'll have a good time learning and will be a real strength to you in your heart. Are you in 15? Proverbs 15, verse 13. The scripture says here, a merry heart, thank you, a merry heart maketh a what? That's not bad for Presbyterians. Let's try it again. A merry heart maketh a? Did you know you can only do that in a church that believes in the King James Bible? You go to any place else and you say, a merry heart maketh a happy face, a cheerful countenance, a smiling complexion. And when that's all read at the same time, it sounds like confusion. We just memorized 26 verses in our church. We made an A through Z, and I had a different verse for every letter of the alphabet. I printed a page, a front and a back with a colored thing, and we did a kind of 13-week exam in our church where we'd stand up every Sunday night and recite them. We just completed it last week, 26 verses. And I'll tell you what, you ever tried to memorize all the other translations and say them together? I'm glad you're in a King James church. And listen, I get so upset, I'm not upset tonight, I get so upset at people who get mad over somebody sitting in their chair, parking in their spot. They didn't say hello to me. Their kid bit my kid in the nursery. And on some stupidity like that, they'll go down the street to another church that doesn't even have a real Bible and think they've done God a favor. You have more brains than that, don't you? You're not crippled too high for crutches, are you? A merry heart maketh the what? But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is. Now, I want you to stop and think about that a minute. We're going to look at some other passages of Scripture. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is. Have you ever had a broken spirit? And this is not meaning an humble or a tender or a compassionate spirit. This is something else. A merry heart maketh a what? But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is. Go one chapter over to chapter 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man. What a statement. What a line there. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Have you ever thought about the preparations of the heart in man? Or did you just kind of blow past that phrase? What does he mean by that? The preparations of the heart. Something being made ready beforehand. A preparation. The preparation of the heart in man. Go with me just a little bit more, would you? Go over to Luke chapter 6. And I got to teach you a little doctrine here in just a minute, and then I'll get to the practical side of the message tonight. Luke chapter 6. I hope you love doctrine. It is the skeleton on which all the stories and the illustrations and the practical stuff hangs. Without it, you're just a New Age mystic. And everybody's got an opinion, and it's just yours versus theirs. Are you in Luke 6? Look at verse 45 with me, if you would. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is what? So, if in my heart is good treasure, then my heart brings forth what? And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? The abundance of the heart. What's that? What is filling up my heart? The abundance, the overflow of my heart. May I ask you tonight, what is the overflow of your heart? What is filling your heart up? Abundance, you got it? That's a basket running over. If I could see your heart as a physical shape right here, and I saw that it was up to the 20% mark, what is it filling your heart up tonight? It will determine your life. You remember Proverbs? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hebrews chapter 4. If you're a Bible college student here, that's right after the book of Philemon. Verse 12. Familiar verse, I hope. For the word of God is quick, means it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, here we go, a discerner, an understander, a looker-througher of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God cuts right through me like a knife. It goes right to the quick. It looks at my thoughts, at my intentions, at what I do. It slices between them. It dissects me and understands what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, and why I'm doing it. Have you ever asked yourself why you are the way you are? I don't just mean some of the choices you've made. I mean the way you are. You know, you ever had people, we used to have people come to the altar and they would, before they came to the altar and repented, they'd say, oh, we're just stubborn in our family. I said, well, it's a sin. Don't brag about it. That's something to repent of. We've got red hair. So we're all stubborn. Any red-haired people in here? Is that true? We got blonde hair. We're dingy. Is that true? We got no hair. We're bald. I know that's true. You know, I don't drink coffee. You know why I don't drink coffee? I heard that if you drink coffee, your babies would be born bald and naked. I don't know if that's true or not. All right. I heard that last week and I liked it. All right. How many had your babies born bald and naked? Uh-huh. See, it's telling on you right there, isn't it? By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is what? Do you remember it? Talk to me. Is what? Broken. The preparations of the heart in man we read about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. 1 Peter chapter 3. You're going to sit a while. You don't mind standing, do you? Chapter 3 and verse 4. Speaking of the godly woman, talking about her adornment, what makes her beautiful. I hope you ladies will do your hair beautifully and dress beautifully and be attractive to your husband and all that. And this verse is not teaching it's wrong to braid your hair. Not teaching that it's wrong to wear jewelry or gold. It's teaching that that is not what should be your adornment. If that's your beauty, if you have to put it on in the bathroom, your beauty, you're in trouble. If you can pour it out of a bottle, you are in trouble. If you have to get out of the jewelry drawer, you are in trouble. For the godly woman, her beauty is her spirit. Read it with me here. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it be that outward adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. I asked a guy one day who told me, you can't braid your hair or wear gold. I asked him if you could wear clothes. He said, well, of course, why? I said, well, it says not the putting on of apparel either. That's not what it's talking about. The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is arrayed in purple and scarlet and silk. Lady, what is your beauty? Next verse. But let it be the hidden man of the what? In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of. I want you to focus on that phrase, the hidden man of the heart. Did you women know you had a man in your heart? You say, yeah, and I know his name too. That's not what I'm talking about. Last verse for right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you there? Now listen, when I ask you a question, I want to talk back, all right? I feel lonely up here if you're just sitting there staring at me. So if I ask you a question, I want you to nod your head or talk to me. You feel free to do that, all right? If you talk too much, I'll say shut up, all right? 1 Thessalonians, please be quiet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, are you there? And the very God of peace sanctify you, and look at the word, C-H-O-L-Y. Is that how it's spelled in your Bible? It isn't. I have some people saying yes and some people saying no. H-O-L-Y. See, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So you're a holy person, right? Isn't that what it says? Not what it says? Are you sure you got a King James Bible? You mean there's a W in front of that word? Holy means all of you. The whole critter. Right? You're in Texas. You know what a critter is, right? The very peace, God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, after I pray, I want to speak to you a message entitled Pathways of the Heart. And I want to talk to you tonight from God's Word about what's in here. Father, make me a blessing. Fill me with your spirit. My heart is just to love this church tonight. Just to strengthen their hand. To lift up, Lord, maybe their mind to understand some things. To help these parents look into their children. And maybe figure something out they didn't figure out before. Maybe change some behavior tonight. That they've looked right past going to externals and focusing on things that seem bigger on the marquee sign. Help me, Lord, to show them a root, a foundational issue that would strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I read the story the other day of a man and a woman that got into an argument in their marriage because he had forgotten their anniversary. How many guys ever forgotten an anniversary? Raise your hand. Have you forgotten more than one? You're a lousy husband. You know that? I'll tell you that. Or no, I'm just kidding. How many forgotten a bunch of them? I see no men's hands and a whole bunch of women pointing. Yeah, okay. And she was so angry with him, and she said, I'll tell you what. After all these years of marriage, I expect something on our anniversary. And she said, tomorrow morning, I better find something in that driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in under 6 seconds. He slept on the couch that night. The next morning when she got up, she looked out her window, and there it was in the driveway. A great big package wrapped. She got very curious, threw on her house coat, went down the front steps, walked out into the driveway. It was a box. She pulled the ribbon, opened the box. It was a bathroom scale. Zero to 200 in under 6 seconds. Channels of the heart. We're talking about how to make the heart. No, not really. Did you know that you are a body, a soul, and a spirit? We believe in the trichotomy of man. If you don't know what trichotomy is, that's a fancy word you can charge $85 for over saying three parts. You can't get any money for three parts, but you can get $85 for trichotomy. You ever talk to your doctor? You say, what have I got? He gives you some big long thing. Oh, I've got the flu. Got it. Trichotomy is just a fancy doctrinal word that means you have three parts. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Did you know that most people confuse those parts? Not the body, but the soul and the spirit. They do not understand the distinction between them and how they work. And as such, oftentimes, let me put it to you this way. Have you ever been in a service where you felt God? Are you sure it was God? Can I tell you something about Brother Reed? Brother Reed can make you feel God anytime he wants to. You know why? Because Brother Reed knows how to create an atmosphere of emotion in the service where it pulls your heart out toward God. Have you ever done this? A preacher got up and you say, boy, I tell you what, God was really in that one. And the next time he gets up and you say, well, probably never happened at this church. Well, it happened this morning while I was preaching. Oh, boy, I tell you what, bless his heart, he did his best, but, you know, I don't know about that. Did you know sometimes God's more in the Bible message that stomps your toes than in the one that makes you daub your eyes and go home and say, wasn't that just wonderful? Do not confuse your spirit for your soul. He says, sanctify you wholly. Well, my body, you can see, right? I can see your body. Can you see my soul? Did you know your soul is shaped like your body? Did you know that? Do you remember the Old Testament that the Bible talks about how when you die, your soul departs from your body? Remember when Benjamin was born, as the Bible says, Rachel's soul was in departing? Remember that from Genesis, I think it's 35. Did you know that your soul has a shape like your body? Did you know that the rich man looking, and we have the rich man in Lazarus' story, that Lazarus' soul is in hell, and in hell he lifted up his ghost. Remember that verse? He didn't lift up his ghost. Oh, that you take the tip of your finger and put it in water and touch it to my ghost. Remember that? What is he going to touch it to? His tongue? Do you know the man has memories? You say, what body is that? That soulish body. Resurrection hadn't occurred yet. Did you know in the Revelation chapter 6, a soul can wear a robe? Your soul is where your mind, emotion, and will reside. You ever had a little child? When you say, don't you touch that, and they go, I'm telling you, don't you touch that. And then at that point, you started saying, oh, please don't touch it. You're going to embarrass mommy. I'm going to buy you an ice cream. I'm going to buy you some candy bars. Please don't do that in the grocery store. Please don't do that. You're going to embarrass mommy. Don't touch that. Mommy's going to cry. You're making mommy cry. I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That child's going to touch that every time. You say, why? That child has learned your word doesn't mean diddly. That child's going to wait till your voice gets loud. And then that child's going to realize mama means it. Maybe not then. Then daddy will come home. I don't know. You see what's happening there? In that child, that will is hardening. That's why we say in child rearing, break the will to free the spirit. As long as that child is in control, that child will never be a happy child. And it'd be a misery to you. God did not make two-year-olds to run the world. Or your home. Not even your kitchen or your bathtub. Several of you have talked about my weight since I've been here. It's hurt my feeling. I've gotten to the point where I fill up the bathtub and then turn the water on. But I'm working on it. What are you laughing at? I'm not the only one. That will in that child is part of soulish man. The mind, the emotion, and the will. All a part of this second part of me. My spirit is that part which relates to God. Romans says, His spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. My spirit is what was dead. My spirit is what got quickened. My spirit is what was saved and sealed. But my soulish man is a very fragile thing. My soulish man, I've got a lot of work to do with that. In your soulish man is where your feelings reside. Now, we men claim not to have any feelings. Right, men? The women want to watch all the stupid human interest stories at the Olympics, right? You know, about Janie, the one-legged tap dancer over here, or whatever the case is, and we just say, would you get rid of all this and show me the sports? I want to see a man who goes 90 miles an hour downhill with his feet spread. That's living large. Right? The luge. My wife comes in, she watches, she says, oh, look, they're going to go back to the hometown. They're going to interview Tripod, the three-legged dog. And we're going to learn about the cheese store that they ate in and the boy that broke her heart when she was six and the doll that was buried in the backyard that the pit bull ate. And we're going to learn all this stuff. And I'm just going, please, give me the sports. Feelings. The truth is, a man has feelings just like a woman. That's not true. A weird man has feelings just like a woman. Oh boy, about messed that one up. If you meet a man with feelings just like you, lady, run. Or else you marry him, he'll be hanging up his pantyhose next to yours in the bathroom, right? A man has feelings too. I don't think we feel near as much. And we feel different things. I know what anger feels like. And anger feels masculine. But hurt, I don't want to admit. I'd rather feel angry. Hurt feels feminine.
They hurt my feelings.
Shut up. So we say to our sons, you're a tough boy, aren't you? You're a tough boy. What a tough boy. You're tough, aren't you? Tough. You know, the iron falls off the shelf, hits him in the head, sticks right there. It's okay, shake it off. You're tough. but it'll heal. Just go play. Girls hold hands. La 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 la. Across the playground. The girl steps on a bug. Oh, it's dead. I killed a creature of God. Let's have a funeral. After that, they go straight to a tea party. You know, that's kind of how it works. We're different in how we do these things. That's not to say there's not a girl that likes climb a tree or play the fire truck or all the rest, but God made us differently in the way that we feel, and that's part of soulish man or soulish woman, if you please. God made us to feel, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. He made us to feel peace and pleasure and happiness and joy and intimacy. Negative feelings like sorrow and guilt and despair and hatred all came after the fall of man and sin. In other words, man did that to himself. Some people, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, get past feeling. Have you ever known somebody who can just sin and they don't seem to feel anything? You don't sense guilt in them. They lie like a carpet. And it doesn't seem like it ever bothers them. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I was helping a couple the other day. They were living together. I was trying to get them to split apart and have some honor. And I said to him, I said, listen, you're Christians now. You need to change this. And the man said this to me. He said, you know, we've lived this way so long, it's almost gotten to the point where we don't feel guilty anymore. Past feeling, right? How many of you have kids? Well, I shouldn't ask this. Okay, don't raise your hands. Just think of the answer. How many of you have a kid that you believe could lie right to your eyes and not flinch, and you have another kid that just tells you everything they do wrong? I stole a cookie. I ate the last piece of pie. I left the commode seat up. I spilled the milk. I did it all. How many of you have one of each? Praise God. I have never been in a church with perfect children till now. Unbelievable. You ever seen the differences in your kids? Have one child to tell on all the others? And when you come home from being out of town, you go talk to that one kid. Hey, tell me, what happened while I was gone?
Well, I'm really not supposed to say.
What do you mean you're not supposed to say? You're not supposed to say what?
Well, if I say it, then I will have said it.
Did they tell you not to tell us? Can you tell me a little bit of it?
I guess I could.
Well, give me just the big part first.
Okay.
And you got them, you know you got them. By the tonsils, you got them right there. And then you walk in like the amazing Kreskin to the other two. Ah, you know, just by divine parental prescience, I've noticed some things going on wrong while I was out of town. And watch both of them go. Did you know that some people report a rush of pleasure when they rape and torture? I went to a jail one day. Priest was going cell to cell and had a man tell me not to bother with him. He actually likes it. Repeat rapist. Said, and I'll do it again when I get out. I'm not hiding it. He said, I like it. I plan to go back to it. Doesn't bother me at all. Women deserve it. Past feeling. I'm trying to tell you, the soul is a fragile, unstable thing. Do you understand? I mean, honestly, haven't you gotten up days? Let me put it to you this way. Have you men ever had a wife who's passionate lover, and then you had wife who is busy house cleaner? Okay. Okay, let me try it again. How many men are cowards in this room right here? Oh, more of those. Okay, good. You say, what's happening? The emotions in a woman are like an ocean wave. G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, if you marry one real woman, you have a virtual harem. Avoids the needless thing use of polygamy. I want to talk to you about soulish man for a while. Did you know that your personality, your conscience, your feelings, your memory, your sanity, all reside in soulish man? All of them do. Did you know your personality can be entirely altered by one injection of medication? Not only will we not know who you won't know who you are. Oh, yeah. They can shoot one shot of juice in you and you will not know who you are. Your conscience, the Bible says, can be weakened, defiled, seared as with a hot iron by the attitudes and actions that you choose. Your feelings can be repressed, manipulated, exploited. Your mood swung to manic, to depressive, and back again. Have you ever heard of bipolar? Your ability to discern reality from fiction, destroyed. Did you know in the military, as they train people for survival, I have a Navy SEAL in my church, and he said that one of the things the SEALs pushed and pushed and pushed was they would get you completely exhausted, deprive you of food and water, and then make you do math computations while you are freezing to death. He said, because as the body is stressed, the mind and the will lose its ability to function. Our feelings have an amazing power over our body. How many have been out to Six Flags? Oh, more courage there. All right. Been out to Six Flags? How many have ridden the double loop gut wrencher? What do you call it out here? What's the coolest ride at Six Flags, kids? Talk to me. I can't hear you. The Titan? I take it it's really big. The Titan. Does it make you want to throw up? Does it make your head want to fly off into space? You ever seen a fighter pilot out there pulling G's in those corners? He wears a special suit. He goes through special training. The suit squeezes his legs and his lower abdomen to keep the blood in the top of his body. And he learns breathing drills to keep blood pressure into his head, because as he pulls those G's, it pulls the blood out of his brain and he goes unconscious. But can I talk to you about something more than physical trauma? Anybody ever been knocked out in football? I have twice. Yeah, you know, I took a knee shot to the helmet, to the temple, cracked my helmet off, just knocked me out cold, severe concussion. Can we talk about something besides physical trauma? Do you ever know somebody that passes out when they see blood? Is there anyone in this room that's ever passed out when you just saw blood? Oh, quite a few. I have a member of my family who loves to watch surgeries, who passes out if they see a family member's blood. That family member could stand in your OR and watch them take your hearts and your intestines out of your chest and put them on the table and not pass out. But if her mother gets her finger cut, boom, she's on the floor. Do you see the power of soulish man over the body? That it can render you unconscious just by something you look at? Have you ever heard about people that worry too much and get an ulcer? Or high blood pressure? Has your doctor ever said to you, now, you need to reduce the stress in your life because your blood pressure is getting too high? You say, what is all that? That's the effect of the outer world on emotional man and the emotional man's effect on the body. Yes? I'm not teaching you medicine. Stay with me. We'll get there in just a second. A person by thinking alone. Kids, have you ever made yourself cry? Come on now. Come on. You ever made yourself throw up?
Mom, I don't feel like going to school today.
Well, yeah, it's because you had your hands down your throat, child. We were sitting at the table today and something was said that one of my children responded to. It broke that child's heart to hear that information. My child immediately burst into tears at the dinner table today. Did you know that when you cry, something physical happens? Your body tightens up, your breathing changes, tears come out your tear ducts, yes? And that's all because of a thought? Are you starting to understand what I'm saying to you yet? Can you tell me why any feelings will make a person want to go shoot themselves? I've been to the scene of many more than one suicide. You see, what took them there? Insufferable pain in their body? No! Insufferable pain in their soul! In not one case of suicide that I have ever attended was it a physical pain. And here's where we get to it tonight. God gave us wholesome ways or pathways to deal with and express our feelings. I don't usually talk much about feelings. In fact, when my wife watches those insufferable movies, it's amazing, isn't it, men? She can sleep through World War XII. And the coolest tough guy that blows up everybody in the world and saves the world from annihilation. I mean, if the subwoofer's on, the couch is bouncing. And all you got to do is hit the play button on some grade Z, sappy girl who winks at a guy and he acts like he doesn't like her. You can always tell these stupid things. Whoever hates each other at the front is going to fall in love at the end. But you just watch the recipe over and over and over again. Me and the boys go fishing. Me and the boys and Kelsey Rose. God gave us wholesome ways. My boys used to go in and taunt them. Because there's nothing more fun to a man than sitting and making fun of a sappy movie. I mean, it's too much. They just give you material. I mean, they're begging for it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. It's like, strap me down. I can't hardly keep my mouth shut. It's like every other scene is something else funny to say. And the women are saying, would you shut up? Would you leave? Would y'all just go ahead and let us do this? And the boys would do this.
Okay, Mom will. I just got to cry. Give me some popcorn and some hot chocolate. I mean, give me some chocolate. I got some chocolate. I'm going to cry a while. It'll be fine. You hurt my feelings.
I told the boys, don't make fun of them. Woman got on a city bus holding her baby. She got on the bus. The man said, that's the ugliest baby I have ever seen in my life. The woman was bitterly offended. She slammed her fare into the receptacle. She stomped down the aisle. She threw herself into a seat beside another male commuter. And she said, that man just made me furious. Told me I had the ugliest baby he's ever seen. The man sympathized. He said, you know, that's unbelievable. He's a public servant. He should never say things to insult the passengers. You're right, she said. I think I'm going to go up there and give him a piece of my mind. That's a good idea, the man said. He said, here, let me hold your monkey. There's just going to be times in your life when you say the wrong thing. Amen. The Bible says there is no man that has not sinned with his tongue. You say, why does it become a problem? Because of the feelings it generates. When we use the pathways God has given us to express what is on the inside, an inner equilibrium is restored. Now let's get personal. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you here just keep it all in? Everybody in your family knows it. You don't talk about it. You don't say anything. You don't fuss. You just go off and chew your jaw. And then there's the opposite. And you blow your stack all the time. As soon as you're not happy, the whole world knows that. You say, what's happening? We're choosing a different way to handle what we feel. When we use a God-given channel to do that, or a pathway, then what happens is that inner pressure is relieved. Well, let me give you some of those. Take a pen and paper, would you? Some of these will seem real obvious to you, but if you have children, I hope you'll listen especially. You say, why is that? Because at the end of the message in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you what happens when you don't use a God-given pathway. It's ugly. Maybe happening in your home right now. May have been a part of your upbringing. Number one, talking something out is a wholesome pathway. Talking something out is a wholesome pathway. I could go through the members of my family and tell you which one of these is their primary use, the primary way they express their feelings. Have you ever noticed men, generally speaking, not all men, and you can decide which one you are, men generally want to hear what the problem is, go away and process it, and come back with an answer. But a woman generally doesn't feel like the issue has been treated until you've discussed it over and over and over and over again in one sitting for hours. And saying, I got it 6 times ago. I understand. I heard you, sweetheart. It's way back there. Got it all that time. I know, but I just don't sense you're feeling what I'm feeling. Bingo. But I did get it. And he wants to go out in the garage, fiddle with stuff, come back later. We handle things differently. Have you noticed it? Now, there are men who are talkers too, and I'm not defaming that. We're just made different. Talking out something is a wholesome channel. Do you have children who shut down? When you correct the child, they don't go. They don't go. They just go. You say, hey, where's so-and-so? I don't know. They were out here a while ago. What happened? I don't know. I had to say some corrective thing, and they're out of here. Don't let your child go sulk in the room. But can I tell you something else? You need to attend to the heart of that child. You say, why? There's something in that child. Needs to process that thing. You say, they don't want to talk. Well, if you wait till they're 20 to teach them, it's a little late. But if you start when they're young, you can help them with that. It doesn't mean their first channel is going to be that, but they need to talk to mom and dad. Explain to me what upsets you. Explain to me what's happening. Talk to dad. Talk to mom. Help me understand. You say, well, how long do I stay at it? Till they talk. I'll tell you something I learned in counseling. I learned that everybody wants someone else to know what they're feeling. Everybody. And sometimes I have to sit in a counseling office. I have sat as long as 42 minutes without a word said. I said, listen, I'm just going to wait here until you're ready to talk. I just want you to know I care about you. I need to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say, and I'm not leaving until you say it. 42 minutes, I just sat and watched him. Smiled. Just want you to know I'm ready when you are. 42 minutes. He said, what were you thinking? Let's not go there. I was thinking I need to wait this woman out. But boy, when she opened up, you know what? She had a lot to say. She just never had anybody wait on her to say it. You understand? What's the first one? Talk it out. Talk it out. You say, wow. You know, I remember, Pastor, when standing right here, I believe it was this step right here, I watched a guy go head first in a wedding. Here she comes. Standing here, groomsman, looking proud. Then he starts looking white. I'm a white boy, but he's looking whiter than me even. His eyes start rolling back in his head, and I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, there he goes. Passes out right here. Right there, hit the floor right there. Why would a man pass out at a wedding if it's not his? You know why? Something's going on inside. You say, he locked his legs. I asked him, did you lock your legs? No, you said, don't lock your legs. I didn't lock my legs. I said, why'd you pass out? I don't know. It's just like I was fine, and then I wasn't fine. And then I was, where am I? The power of soulish man on the body. In discussing why we're angry or why we're hurt, we vent pressure into a normal channel, into a normal pathway that God has made. We prevent the buildup of bitterness. That's why I've taught you before. Don't stifle your kids. Not a word. Hush. Be quiet. Be quiet. I'm the only one talking. You shut up. Now there's a time for dad to talk. And there's a time for teenager to talk. And there's a time for dad to talk again. And there's a time for teenager to talk again. And there's a time for dad to talk again. That's not how I do it. I just walk in there, tell them, shut your yap, and I'll tell you how it is. Well, Wooly, you deserve what you got coming. And you're not going to like it. You say, why? God made there to be a normal outlet. My daddy, bless his heart, used to say to me, my son can say anything to me, he will say in a proper tone of voice. I'm so glad for that. Number two is crying. Crying is a healthy channel. You say, real men don't cry. I guess that'd make Jesus not a real man then, right? Shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35, which says, Jesus wept. Do you know why a biblical spanking restores equilibrium to a child's heart? And why it's why I'm against pops? Because your spanking does no good until you break the will of the child. And the will of the child is not broken until the child lets go and cries. Now, some of you have fakers. And they learn to cry early. It's pop number one. The paddle comes up. Wah! Like that. Faker. Be honest, how many of you were a faker? You were a faker, be honest. Yeah, I see hands all over this place. That's why I teach people, don't spank them till they cry, then spank them till they stop. Let them cry. And let them lay there, and while they're laying there, rub their back. Rub their bottom you just spanked. Rub their hair. Rub their arm. Touch the child. And let them cry. Then when they get up, put them on your shoulder. If they're, come here, Caleb. You understand? Touch the child. And when you get done with that, they need to cry. Put them on your shoulder.
Say, Roger.
Sit right there. Did he go, oh, I couldn't tell. Don't spank that child who stops crying. Let him cry. You say, why? Crying cleanses the guilt. That's an okay form of expression. If he gets up cursing, you're not done. If he gets up screaming, you're not done. If he gets up doing this, you're not done. You have not yet broken the will. The spirit is not free. The child is not helped. Understand? Number one is what? Number two, crying is a healthy channel. Crying is a healthy channel. Show me a child who cannot or will not cry, and I will show you a child who is unhealthy on the inside. You ever have a child 6, 7, 8 years old filled with rage? There's always a reason for that. That's not because he didn't get Tonka trucks for Christmas. The God-man Jesus wept. He offered up prayers with strong crying and tears, Hebrews 5:7 says. David, the great warrior king and man after God's own heart, wept, Psalm 6:6. The heroic Queen Esther cried, Esther 8:3. Job, that greatest man of the ancient East, wept. Good King Hezekiah cried. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Jesus praised the woman who anointed his feet with tears. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says in Acts 20, served the Lord with many tears. The God of this universe has put my tears in a bottle, Psalm 56, and will one day purge all need for tears here in this life. When he sets the universe to right, he shall wipe all tears away from their eyes, the Scripture says, and there shall be no more pain, and the former things are passed away. But till then, don't go into your wife who's crying and say, why do you have to do that? Would you just dry it up? That's not fair. You are a stupid man. You put something in the offering plate for me to call you that, didn't you? I went to church tonight, put money in the offering plate, and man called me stupid. Number three, laughter's a healthy channel. Unless you're watching dirty stuff, then it's not a healthy channel. You know, some people can't be funny unless it's dirty. I'm talking about watching preacher laugh this week. He's watched some of those old videos. And my whole family was sitting there. We could hardly breathe, not from watching the video, from watching him laugh at the video. He was out of breath. His face was red and blue and purple. He was falling in the floor. He was hanging off the side of a chair. Ha ha! I mean, you could hear it for miles. It was unbelievable. We were having so much fun watching him. We got in the van and left later that afternoon. We were talking about it. I said, you know, it's more fun watching Pops laugh than it is watching funny stuff. We had a blast. That's healthy stuff. That's why I teach you, get in the floor and play with your kids. Have some fun. Laugh it out. Good, clean stuff. A merry heart doeth good like a what? It makes a cheerful countenance out of a broken spirit, that verse says. It converts the afflicted heart, the Bible says, into one with a continual feast. The Lord spoke through Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and said, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. Number four, prayer. There are some things you should only say to God. Prayer is a healthy pathway. Hebrews says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Praying, in a sense, is talking it out to God. Philippians speaks to those who are burdened down with care and tells them to let their requests be made known unto God. Scripture admonishes us to come boldly to the throne of grace. The hymn writer said, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. But we don't. We have the inner argument. I preached to you, I guess, 4 years ago on the imaginations. We don't go tell it to Jesus. We go wrestle with our hair. We go fume around. We go lay on the bed. We go get in the car and squeal our tires. We get the cold shoulder and the... We come out of the north here. Where's the cold weather come from here? I can't remember. A northerly? It's a westerly where I live usually. And you come home and you're not talking and there's this iceberg frigid kind of feeling in the house. And the kids say, what's wrong with Dad? I'm probably the only man who's never done this, right? No, I've done it too. And you and Mama are talking, but it's very civil. Very curt, very short. You're not saying anything mean, maybe. But the kids sure know something is up. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. Number five, married lovemaking. Married lovemaking is a healthy pathway. See, why is that? Because God made us with powerful sexual, romantic, and passionate desires. They need to be frequently expressed in honor and purity and joy. I'll tell you this. When not enthusiastically expressed there, God warns us of defraudment, incontinency, and fornication. Meaning, what? I better use the pathway God gave me, or I will be tempted to use the pathway God didn't give me. Scriptural music, number six. I'm trying to hurry. I'm almost done. Scriptural music is a healthy pathway. Remember David going in before Saul, soothing his spirit? Remember that? When you come home at your house, what kind of music's on? Or is it just the blare of the TV all the time? If the news runs at your house all the time, do you know what you have in your home for an atmosphere? Bad news. Well, there was a tornado. Well, the truck turned over. People are dying. Folks died in Afghanistan. Here comes the body. I'll tell you what, it's awful. The economic picture is down. We're all going to die. That's the spirit of your home. It's the sound reverberating off the walls of your home all day long. Garbage in, garbage out. Boy, what a great scriptural, godly, soothing music might do. And I don't just mean listening to it. Katie is a girl who plays out her feelings. I've watched her do that her whole life. She'll sit down at the piano. When she's frustrated, she plays differently. It's tempestuous and stormy. Loud. I sometimes just come up behind her and just start massaging her shoulders. It's okay. But after she gets through that, then it kind of calms down and she'll start playing something very melodic and that kind of stuff. It's all decent music. It's just, I can sense this. That's a healthy pathway. Did you ever read some of the great men? G is writing, or what is it, seven for you? Writing. He write in a journal. My Kelsey's a poet. Kelsey's always writing poetry. I encourage it. You say, why? Healthy pathway. She doesn't talk a lot, but she writes a lot of poetry. She needs something to get what's inside out. Yes? Physical exercise. You ever gone to the punching bag? Who are you picturing? Just Everlast, right? Spalding. Yeah, but you have nose and an eyes on it. The time is late. Let me finish. Here we go. What happens if you don't do this? Well, it gets pretty ugly, actually. Do you remember those old Model A's or T's? Which one had the hard tires? Any experts in here? Preacher? Which one had the hard tires? T. And they drive down those old dirt roads. Was that your first car? I don't know what year it came out in. I guess it wasn't, by the way you're looking at me. Okay, I'll shut up and go back to preaching. Years after Pastor was probably already retired from the ministry, the Model T came out. I don't know. But not really. Those old cars would drive down those dirt roads, and then it'd rain and it'd get muddy. And every time that car would go down that road, guess what would happen? The rut would get deeper. The rut would get deeper. The rut would get deeper. And the old story goes that after a while of running that road, you didn't have to steer anymore. You could just hit the accelerator, and the car would ride in the ruts. That's exactly what happens with soulish man. You started out as a child processing things this way. You didn't know the scripture, or you weren't encouraged to do the scripture, and you just grew up holding it all in, or expressing it this way, expressing it that way, not scriptural ways. And as you got older, trouble came. And when hardship happened, and when difficulty happened, maybe violence happened to you, you didn't know what to do with it. I hate it when I have someone who says to me, when I was 12, I got molested. I went to my parents, and they said, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. Uncle Jimmy did it. And if there's an Uncle Jimmy, forgive me. Uncle Pluto. There's no one named Pluto here, right? Uncle Pluto did it. No, no, he didn't. Don't tell me that. He didn't do that. You had a dream. No, mommy, I didn't have a dream. I didn't have a dream. I'm going to tell daddy. Don't bother dad with that stuff. It's not even true. Just had one like this. And parents decide that if they prosecute Uncle Pluto, he's going to go to jail. But you know, the child will be okay. It's not dead or anything. Child ain't going to be okay. Child learns very early how to and how not to deal with things. And most of the time it's wrong in a child. Then you grow up, you're still doing it. Still doing it. You ever heard of phobias? This is what happens when you do it wrong. Phobias. You know what a phobia is? It's an unreasonable fear. I'm not going to ask you if you have a phobia. You say, Pastor, should we be afraid of some things? Yeah, I always love the trucks that have the thing on the back, no fear. I pulled up at a red lighting. It's a little city called Green at my house. It was a big black truck and had no fear. He had his window down. He's kind of hanging out the window, and I was in my truck, and I rolled my window down. And I said, no fear. He says, yeah. I said, you don't get out much, do you? You don't have to live long in the world to know there's something you ought to fear out there. If all you've been doing is sitting in your nail parlor, then no fear. You get in the woods, and there's some critters out there you better have a healthy fear for. Are you just going to be lunch? No fear. Phobias. You know that unreasonable fear of heights? Or spiders? Arachnids. I'm not saying if you have a fear of spiders that you got something wrong. I'm just trying to say they're unreasonable fears. A lady in my church, this is one of the sweetest ladies, and she's just confided in me. It wasn't private. It's just publicly known, so I'm not saying anything. She just would have a dog in her house, but she'd never touch it. I said, why don't you touch it? She said, it just scares me to death. Then you have weird fears, like people who would jump out with a parachute out of an airplane but won't walk across a bridge. Pastor, have you ever watched people stand here and sing and a lady and her skirt just bounce? Because she's shaking so hard and she conquers that fear. That's not a phobia. That's a healthy respect. But you know what I'm talking about when things get unreasonable? Would anybody in here, you don't have to tell me what it is, would it just made it aloud? I think I have at least one unreasonable fear in my life. Did you put it up? Oh, lots of hands, all over. Not just phobias, but overcompensations. You say, what's that? That's when super tough becomes an overcompensation for emotionally traumatic things in the past. I've told Kelsey Rose for years, Kelsey's my number three girl and my number four child. She's worth more than all the world to me. We've been close since she was a tiny baby, never broken all the way through that. I'd give my life for her without blinking at the drop of a hat. One of the sweetest gifts that God has ever given me is my Kelsey Rose. She's a little girl. She had terrible dreams. We first moved to Oregon. She thought bears are going to come into, and I've told you the story before, thought bears are going to come in her window and get her. She's a little tiny rascal about this long, big wild hair, blonde. She slept in the bottom of a bunk bed. And one of those bunk beds you kind of refit over and over as the kids grow up. You know what I'm talking about, dads? And we put plywood in the top instead of slats. I say we, I mean I did. Now I feel bad for it. I'll tell you why. And she would say, Dad, the bears are going to get me. I said, no bear's going to get you. I said, the bears are out in the woods. Aren't there bears here? Yeah, there's bears here. Aren't they strong? Yeah. Are they mean? Some of them. They have big teeth. Yep. Well, I think they're going to come in and get me. I said, nope, can't get you. They're out there. You're in here. Besides that, Dad is here. Dad will not let the bears get you. She went to sleep that night and dreamed a bear was chasing her. Just nipping at the back of her heels. Just almost. She woke up screaming. Sat up in her bed and her blonde hair got caught in the cracks of the plywood above her. And she, in a half-awake status, felt like the bear had her by the hair. She could not pull her hair out. She was freaking out in the bed, just screaming like a wild thing. We jumped up in the night, ran in there, and found her there just the most frightened I have ever seen one of my children anything. Would not walk back into the room for weeks. Took us 3 months? 3 months to get her back in her bed. Just totally, completely petrified with fear. Can I tell you what Kelsey's persona became after that? She's the most unafraid girl in our family. You get Katie around a centipede. Oh, Dad, there's a bug. Katie going to the bathroom. I think I'm feeling sick. I'm going to vomit. See, I did some. That's not throw up, that's spit. Could I have some more of that medicine, please? No, you can't have any more of the medicine. I spit up. Kelsey Rose could cut her leg off and I wouldn't know it for 3 months. Except that she'd look a little funny in her dress. You say, what happened? Inside her, a compensation took place. After that fear, her personality changed a little bit. Maybe you've had things in your life that just scared you to death. I've worked her whole life with her just to make sure she keeps those things in the right pathways. I know you're tired. I'll quit. Panic attacks. You ever had that? Cutting for relief. Did you know I'm dealing with at least one new case every week of my life? And I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking about grown women, pastor, most of them in staff positions. Their big secret is they cut themselves. And they're not trying to kill themselves. They're not slitting their wrists. They're cutting themselves and bleeding for relief. It feels good when they bleed. Not the blood itself, but seeing that blood releases some kind of inner pressure there. They're not trying to die. They don't want to commit suicide. They're not taking pills. They're not trying to bleed a lot. And they hide it on their thigh or they hide it up under their sleeve. They have a razor blade or a knife or something like that. I'm dealing with a new case every week of my life. You say, what's happened? Somebody didn't take a right pathway a long time ago, and now it's turned into something else. Daytime flashbacks, eating disorders. Did you know that almost no eating disorders are about the food? They're about the feelings. Night terrors. In some cases, schizophrenia is medically based, but in some cases, it isn't. Anger-based violence. And I conclude with this idea. How many of you are computer people in here? Raise your hand. How many know what it is to compress a file? There's a program called Stuff It. Is one compression. Some people zip their files. Other people, a lot of different compression technologies. Now what that means simply is this. If you have a whole folder full of files on your computer and you compress it, let's say it took 100 megabytes before. Now, depending on the kinds of files, it takes up 50 megabytes or 20 megabytes. And it makes it easier to email, for instance, or transfer in that way. Then the other person gets it and they have to do something to that. What do they have to do? Decompress it. That's exactly how soulish man is. You can stuff it for only so long. But I'll tell you something about stuffing it. Once you start stuffing it, you do not get to choose when and where it starts coming out. But right now you can. Stand with me, please. The preparations in the heart of man. The spirit is broken. That's not about I just had a pastor's wife, 48 years in the ministry in one church. The pastor called me. He said, Brother Kavanagh, I just don't understand. He said, my wife's the most wonderful woman in the world. I'm so happy to be married to her.
He says, but she's in this depression. He said, she's just been behaving very strangely. And when I look back through our marriage, he said, I don't know what's happened. He said, we're happy together. Things are fine. 48 years in the ministry. I began to ask questions. He began to say, well, yes, that's exactly what it is. I said, what about this? Well, yeah. Has she talked to you? I said, no. And I said, if we look back through your marriage, was this there? Well, yes, it was. I said, and before that, was this here? Yes, it was. I said, here's what's happening with your wife. The pastor just began to sob on the phone. He said, she's the most wonderful woman in the world, but she feels like a terrible Christian. I said, encourage her. What she's dealing with is not spiritual. It's emotional. Soulish man is different from spirit. God wants to sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Do you get it? My relationship to God happens in my spirit through the interface of my soul and my body. But don't confuse rah-rah with your spirit. Rah-rah is your soul. You understand? Being past feeling is your soul. Your spirit is sealed to the day of redemption. Your spirit is a relationship with God. Your spirit is different than this. I want to encourage you parents tonight. You sat long with me as I've taught you. Thank you for that. May I encourage you parents to make sure that in each of your children you find healthy pathways and you stick to it till you get them on it good? It's not always easy, because once you're going one way, you don't want to change. It's the way you've dealt with it all these years. Did you know God cares how you feel? Why else would He put your tears in a bottle? And that's true of men. I helped a family recently. I say I helped a family. I came in after the disaster. A staff member's wife flew out of state. The state they lived in flew out of state to have an affair with a guy from another state. Another Christian man. And then just went nuts. She got all her tattoos and started living like a hussy and just told him horrible things and became such a persecutor to him. When I spoke to him, he was in such extreme distress. He wanted to kill somebody, scream, cry, and die all at the same time. When we say there's grace for everything in this life, do we mean that too? Is there grace for a rape victim? Yes or no? Is there grace when your parents die? Yes or no? Is there grace when you lose a son in battle? Yes or no? Is there grace to deal with even the sins of other people? You mean the grace of God is so pervasive and so all-encompassing, and the goodness of God and the sovereignty of God can bring grace to you in any situation? You can get through anything you have to get through by the grace of God. Is that true? Do you really believe God's word when it says that? May I encourage you to be not only committed to that idea, but to be smarter about that idea tonight? Father, thank you for our time in church. The people have been very patient, as they always are with me, to sit long and listen to the teaching and the preaching. Perhaps, Lord, ideas, thoughts, old memories have come flooding back. Perhaps parents have looked at their children in a new light. Perhaps a husband and a wife have come to understand each other just a little bit better. Thank you for wanting to sanctify the whole Christian. Body, we understand better. Spirit, we get it. Soulish man. Mind, emotion, and will. Feelings. Sanctifying that. A little tougher for us, Lord. You said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That the word of God is a discerner, the thoughts and intents, joints and marrow, that it can get inside me and help me where nothing else can. It can be almost my breath and my life at times. That the Holy Spirit of God is sent to comfort me. to pacify me, to calm me. That prayer, you said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All the soulish man, all of this provision, all of this instruction, there to help us get through it. And one day, Lord, in your presence, no need, glorified body, fullness of joy, soon we'll be done with the troubles of the world. Till then, help us to respond scripturally. In Jesus' name.